Hi guys, Yannick Silver here, and welcome to another exciting call where I bring you some of the top business icons, thinkers, and thought leaders. And with me today is someone that I'm proud to call a friend, a drinking buddy, and probably one of the smartest entrepreneurial coaches that I've met. And his name is Cameron Harold, and if you haven't heard of him, he's at BackpocketCOO.com. The guy he was a former COO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK and took it from $2 million to $105 million in less than 6 years with no debt, no outside investors. And now he's been working his magic with other entrepreneurs. And the reason I asked Cameron to come on the call is I think he's got some really interesting insight for the entrepreneurs here about the four stages of this entrepreneurial roller coaster that all of us sort of go on that almost makes us feel like we're kind of going crazy, and our spouses or girlfriends or boyfriends or significant others and family have to deal with. And it's going to be a really interesting insight for you, and something probably that would even be worth sharing with the people close to you. So Cameron, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, Yannick.
All right. So maybe fill in a couple blanks for people on your history just real fast, and then we'll jump into this roller coaster that you call.
Sure. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been in a lot of business ventures that I've started as early as when I was 21 years old. I had 12 full-time employees. But even prior to that, growing up as a child in grade school and high school, I was doing entrepreneurial ventures well past the normal, you know, newspaper routes and cutting grass. Obviously, I did those, but I was also paying for my own way through university by selling things door to door and running businesses. And so I kind of grew up being groomed as an entrepreneur. My father was an entrepreneur, and then both of my grandfathers were entrepreneurs, and both of my brother and sister also own companies. So I really grew up in a whole world of this entrepreneurial roller coaster, and was just exposed to it and lived it. And then in mid-1986. I joined a company called College Pro Painters, and I opened up the West Coast of the United States for College Pro Painters. And at the time, the founder walked me through a concept that he called the transition curve, and that was what is now kind of this emotional roller coaster that I teach entrepreneurs. And it just showed me that we're normal as entrepreneurs to have these ups and downs. So College Pro Painters was a big part of my path. From there, I went on and I co-founded the franchise organization for Boyd Auto Body and Glass, which is a chain of auto body collision repair shops. I did that for 4.5 years and took that company public. Left there in 1998, and I was president of a private currency company, a barter exchange that we built up and sold that company for $64 million Canadian. And then in 2000, I joined my best friend and came on his team as the chief operating officer of a company called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And when I joined that company, there were 12 full-time employees, including the call center. There were 12 franchisees. And when I left 6.5 years later, we had just about 3,100 employees system-wide and 330 franchises operating in 4 countries and 46 states and 9 provinces. So we'd built that company out as well.
That's awesome.
Now what I do is I mentor entrepreneurs around the world, and I do speaking events in countries all over the world.
Right, and you're one of my business coaches, and you know what you're going to be listening to here, guys, is something that's incredibly valuable. Even though this is a free call, I promise you, if we probably should have charged for it because you might even value it more. But you know, turn off your email, turn off your Twitter, turn off Facebook, anything that you know beeps, pings, whatever it takes, because this is going to be some really important stuff that I promise is going to be extremely relevant to anyone who's an entrepreneur. And I actually turned off the Caps Canadians hockey game to see them go for win number 15. So you know this is important stuff. All right, so let's maybe jump in here, Cameron. With you know, what are the? Well, I guess actually before we get there, I feel like as all us entrepreneurs, we go through these ups and downs all the time. And I think what you said at the beginning was that it's normal, and that's incredibly important to realize. That's typical for an entrepreneur to feel like one day that we're on top of the world, next day that shit, something's gonna, you know, crash and burn around us, and we just can't get around it. But you know, you've identified these four distinct emotional stages, I guess.
Yeah.
Want to talk about those?
Sure, and even just before I give you the emotional stages, I just want just to do a quick check kind of around everyone on the call. I'd like you just to ask yourself these questions and keep count of how many of these traits that I say, keep count of how many of these traits you find yourself having at times in running your business. So what I want you to do is see if you can get to five of these being true for you. Just count on your fingers. So number one, do you often feel that you're filled with energy? So if that's true, just kind of put your thumb up. That's number one. Number two, do you ever feel flooded with ideas? Do you feel driven? Can you get restless? Are you unable to keep still? And I'm sure there's people on the call now that on those first five things have got all five fingers being counted already. Do you often feel like you're working on little sleep? Can you often get euphoric? Do you get easily irritated by minor obstacles? Do you burn out periodically? Do you act out sexually? It's actually a trait, believe it or not. Do you feel persecuted by those who don't accept your vision of what you're building? And I'll bet you that anyone who's on the call right now that's an entrepreneur has at least said yes to five of those things. What's interesting is those are not traits of entrepreneurs. Those are actually traits of a clinical diagnosis for bipolar disorder. So, and I mean, you're laughing nervously, and so do I when I hear that. Because Yannick, how many of those did you have?
I kind of stopped counting.
It's right.
Better that way.
Yeah. So the reality is, entrepreneurs will actually identify with almost every one of those traits, and those are the clinical diagnosed traits for bipolar disorder. What's interesting is bipolar disorder has been nicknamed the CEO disease. Bipolar disorder is what we know as manic depression. So entrepreneurs are kind of hardwired to be partially, if not clinically diagnosed, manic depressive. I'm going to read you a quick quote that Marc Andreessen, who is one of the founders of Netscape, wrote. And he said, first and foremost, a startup puts you on an emotional roller coaster unlike anything you've ever experienced. You flip rapidly from day to day, one where you're euphorically convinced you're going to own the world, to a day in which doom seems only weeks away and you feel completely ruined, and back again, over and over and over again. And I'm talking about what happens to stable entrepreneurs. There's so much uncertainty and so much risk around practically everything you're doing, and the level of stress that you have of running your own company will magnify the incredible highs and unbelievable lows at whiplash speed and huge magnitude. And if that sounds like fun, become an entrepreneur. That was one of the founders of Netscape. Interestingly enough, Marc Andreessen, Jim Barksdale, and Jim Clark, the three founders of Netscape, are all clinically diagnosed as bipolar. So is Ted Turner. So is Francis Ford Coppola. So was Bill Gross from Idealabs. Steve Jobs has been described as hypomanic and unable to think outside the box because he doesn't even see the box. And he's also been described as quick to fly off the handle emotionally because of the stress. So the reality is that kind of if we look at all of the entrepreneurs, both successful and even iconic, as we go through these roller coaster rides, the key is to, first off, understand it and accept it and realize that maybe we're not actually crazy. Maybe this is part of being an entrepreneur, and maybe it's part of why we're good. So one of the things that I learned back in the 80s when my mentor walked me through this was entrepreneurs need to leverage our manic periods. We also need to understand the stress that we have and why it's okay to have days when we don't feel like getting out of bed, when we kind of call our team up at the office and pretend we're working off-site and the reality is we haven't been able to get out of bed in the morning because of the stress or the fear or the anxiety. And the reality is the pressure that we have of entrepreneurs, of the promises we've made and the people we're employing and the suppliers and customers we're working with and trying to meet payroll and the vision for something big and bigger that we're building, those are a lot of pressures that a normal employee who gets a paycheck just doesn't really have. So that should hopefully frame this kind of roller coaster ride that we go through as entrepreneurs. The big difference between a physical roller coaster that you can ride at a theme park and the roller coaster that we ride as entrepreneurs is we can't get off this roller coaster. At the theme park, you kind of go around once and you have to get off so the next group can get on. As an entrepreneur, our roller coaster ride goes up and down, up and down, up and down, sometimes to very, very high highs and other times to very, very low lows. Other times not so high and not so low, but we definitely don't have a kind of normal day or a normal week. So that's
the overall curve. Yeah, I think that really sets the tone for what we're going to talk about. And, you know, once again, it kind of gives people, and myself included, just a little bit of, hey, everything's okay. That's normal. That's par for the course.
Yeah. So I always use the analogy of this physical roller coaster and get people to remember the feelings that you had when you were riding a roller coaster. And I actually did a blog post the other day on my website of a guy riding a roller coaster. And they were trying to ask him some basic questions that he was able to answer while he was sitting on the ground. And while he was riding the roller coaster, he was completely unable to answer any of the questions. It's a hilarious video. But the stage one, if you think about riding up a roller coaster ride, as you're getting towards the top of that roller coaster, you feel that nervous energy and that excitement and that enthusiasm. Even though you don't know what's coming yet, you haven't quite seen how big that first drop is going to be, but you're just pretty damn excited being up there. Well, that stage of the business roller coaster is what we call uninformed optimism. And that first stage is that adrenaline rush, that nervous energy and that excitement. It's what you felt when you were starting your business. It's what you felt when you land that big contract or when a customer comes along and gives you huge praise and hires you to do something for them. It's the adrenaline rush you feel when you hire a fantastic new employee. Or when you purchase advertising that you're really hoping is going to do well. Those are the feelings of uninformed optimism. But something changes, and all of a sudden you kind of go over top of the roller coaster and you look down a little bit, and you get a little bit more information, and you get a little bit more pessimistic. That information is called kind of uninformed pessimism, where you've got a little bit more information than you had before. You're starting to get some fear and some nervousness, maybe a little bit of frustration. Maybe you're even kind of thinking you might even want to get off the roller coaster. But that second stage of informed pessimism, you now know for sure that something is slightly different than it was at the stage before. And if you're not careful at informed pessimism, you're going to continue to go down that curve. And when you go down that curve, you hit a stage called crisis of meaning. Crisis of meaning is at the very bottom of the roller coaster. Kind of on a physical roller coaster, it's where you would be convinced that your roller coaster car is going to go screaming through the bottom of the ride and crash and burn at the bottom. And you need help to get through that crisis of meaning in your business. And that's when you need to turn to mentors and turn to friends and, you know, get some exercise. I'll go through some things to help you get through that crisis of meaning stage. But the reality is we're all going to get there at times. Sometimes it's going to be for a long period of time. Other times it'll be just for a matter of hours or days. And you'll have small little curves along the big macro roller coaster curve as well. And then as you kind of go around the bottom of a physical roller coaster, you start to go back up the next hill, and all of a sudden you feel the chain click into place, and you feel yourself being pulled back up the hill. Well, that's when you know you're okay. That's the informed optimism stage. That's when you know that everything's going to work out. You have enough proof and data to tell you that your business is going to be okay. And you start being able to have that sigh of relief that you're going to be, you know, you're going to be all right, and you're not dying, or you're not, you know, your business isn't collapsing, or that you have started to figure out how to run the business to this next stage that you're at. But just before that stage, before that chain kind of clicks in on the physical roller coaster, you hit a spot that we call hopeful realization. And that's kind of like the little engine that could. The problem with that stage is a lot of entrepreneurs, when they get there, think everything's okay. But the reality is they're not quite perfect yet. It's almost like if you were having problems with your marriage and you went to a marriage counselor for the first time and you walked into a marriage counselor and said, you know, my wife's a bitch. And your wife said, my husband's an ass. And you go for one session of marriage counseling and you leave the session and you go, we're good now. Well, no, you're not good yet. You probably have to go to marriage counseling for months and months, if not years, until you're so sick of seeing the marriage counselor. Then you know for sure that you're good. And what happens to a lot of entrepreneurs is we come through this tough time, we land a big account, or we hire a great person, or we have some small success, and because we're wound up with optimism, which makes us good as an entrepreneur, we think everything's okay, and we kind of unleash back up the curve too early. So it's important to not feel like everything's perfect again until you know for sure that it is. So those are kind of the defined points of the curve: the uninformed optimism, informed pessimism, the crisis of meaning, hopeful realization, and then informed optimism. Now, what's important to recognize is that each stage of the curve is going to happen, and also each stage of the curve has its good parts and its bad parts. I'll give you an example of that. If you're at informed optimism and you've got all this nervous and good energy, there's some things that you should not be doing at that stage, and there's things that you should be doing at that stage.
Which stage is this, Cameron? Is this stage one, uninformed optimism, or informed?
Yeah, stage one, uninformed optimism.
Okay, that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, so if you're okay. Now back at stage one, uninformed optimism, you know, where you've got that really good nervous energy and you're
right.
having fun and you're fully enthusiastic,
yep.
what are some of the things that you would do at that stage?
Oh, I mean, you want to talk about your idea to anyone and everyone. You want to just, I mean, you're on top of the world there. You think that's going to be the next billion-dollar idea.
Right. So you're going to talk to the media. You're going to talk to the press. You're going to stand up in front of your clients. You're going to pull your employees in and have meetings with them and get everybody jazzed up and excited about it. Now, at the same time, if you're in that feeling of uninformed optimism, what should you not be doing?
Oh, I don't know. You probably don't want to be spending money.
Bingo. Yeah, you don't want to be spending money. You don't want to be doing any business planning. You don't want to be working on your budget. You don't want to be making buying decisions or hiring decisions. You don't want to be doing your accounting or bookkeeping. Anything that involves thinking and systems and money, you want to try to avoid.
So no strategic planning then.
Yeah, exactly, strategic planning. If you're in that wound-up energy phase, you want to avoid anything that requires careful thinking. And it's funny, when you show this guy, or when I showed this guy on my blog riding the roller coaster, and they asked him a very simple question about a baseball game that they just explained to him a minute before when he was calm, he was completely unable to answer the question. And the reality is he's unable to answer it because his brain is misfiring because of the mania that he's under. Well, it's the same within business. You have to be very careful. You don't want to be making promises when you're in this period of mania. But you definitely want to leverage it. You know, I loved being in my manic phases because I would stand in front of employees. I could go and just wander around the office and talk to people, and I'd get them jazzed up just because I was so excited.